Number 45, Be Holy, From the Fascination of the Race and Other Essays by Benjamin L. Summer. What a call, what a challenge. When our God says to us, Be holy, for I am holy, 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Exodus 19, verse 6, the end and aim of our calling in Jesus Christ is so high that we shall grow and be sanctified in that calling until we attain to that holiness, without which no man shall see God, Hebrews 12, verse 14. Since holiness is thus held up to us as a necessary condition to our being acceptable to God, it is good that we should stop to ask and consider, what is holiness? How is it attained? How does it manifest itself? What does it mean to be holy? Otherwise, we might, like ancient Israel, fail to attain to it, even though we seek it, if we do not seek it with understanding. First, we must try to remove false and morbid conceptions of holiness, so as to clear the way in our hearts for a better conception and understanding of the nature of true holiness. The artists of the past have done much to fix in the popular mind a morbid conception of holiness by painting pictures of saints in long black robes, with long-drawn faces and upturned eyes, and with, perhaps, a halo about the head. No, this is not holiness. This is that perversion of holiness against which Isaiah protested, saying, Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Isaiah 58, verses 4 and 5. That chapter in Isaiah the 58th is recommended for most careful reading and rereading if a person desires a clear exposure of the wrong way to serve God, as well as a wonderful lesson upon the right way. Let us consider the word holy itself. What is its root and origin? The answer to that question will start us on the right track. Webster's New International Dictionary gives the word as being related to whole, wholesome, healing, well, sound, healthy. Spiritually whole or sound, pure in heart. In German, it is the same. Heilig, heilen. How closely is the word related to health, healing, and wholesomeness? Of course, primarily in a spiritual sense. How refreshing, like a sea breeze, it is to think of holiness in this way. How elevating as compared to the sordid, sickly thing that has been parading under the name of holiness and against which true religion has had to fight in all ages. Holiness then means spiritual life and health. A realization of this leads us to the first step in attaining holiness. Just as there can be no physical health and well-being without cleanliness and hygiene, so is it folly to talk about holiness of spirit without a spiritual house cleaning, without a purifying of the heart. Purity of heart, then, is the first essential of holiness. That is why the scripture says, Repent, confess, believe, and be baptized. Ye must be born again. The heart must be purified through faith. We must be liberated from the yoke and bondage of sin. We cannot serve God acceptably and yet live in sin. We must be freed from the dominion of sin and walk in cleanness and purity of heart and newness of life. This purity of heart, however, is not complete when we merely abstain from gross immoral acts. That, of course, must be included, but the matter must go much farther. One might, under the influence of the law and out of fear, live a life free from gross immoral acts, and yet be absolutely filthy in thought and heart. In self, righteousness, we can suppress many evil acts, but we cannot purify the heart nor attain to holiness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5, verse 8. It is God who purifies our hearts through faith. Acts 15, verse 9. 1 John 1, verse 9. And the more he purifies us, the more clearly we can see him and the better we shall know him. This will further sanctify and purify us. So we go from grace unto grace if we resist not his grace, but submit ourselves and cooperate with the working of his grace. Not only moral conduct, but purity of thoughts and heart are required to attain that spiritual healthfulness and wholesomeness which is worthy to be called holy. This purifying is possible for all men who earnestly desire it. It is not attained through our own effort or willpower, but rather it is attained through faith in Jesus Christ and in his saving and transforming power. His death atoned for our sins that are past. His resurrection gives us victory over the power of sin. And his ascension into the true Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, opens the way for us to the heart of the Father. The veil is torn asunder, and we can draw near the throne of grace in his name when we worship the Father in spirit and truth. These are the glad tidings. This is the gospel. Through such faith in the gospel, the heart is purified and ennobled, is filled with love and hope, with joy and peace. Doubt, fear, hatred, envy, malice, and all unclean lusts and thoughts are banished. That is spiritual life and health. That is holiness. To those who stand in this faith, make the most of it. Be diligent and active, so that you may not stand still nor backslide, but may grow in it, and may increase in godliness and holiness, without which no man shall see God. To those who are yet unsaved, seek earnestly your salvation through Jesus Christ. Pray for a penitent heart, so that you may sincerely repent your past sinfulness and unfruitfulness. Confess your sins. Believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ, and be baptized in this faith, thus laying the foundation for true holiness of life. It is folly to build without first laying a good foundation. It is folly to attempt to attain to holiness of life unless we build upon that rock, that unshaken foundation, Jesus Christ. Finally, I would record the following as my conception of a holy life. It is a life of purity and uprightness, of humility and soberness, of hopefulness and cheerfulness, of kindness, gentleness, and friendliness, of peaceableness and peacefulness, a life of faith and prayer. In short, a life of godliness, of the closest communion with the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit, and lastly, a life of love and unselfish service. Such a life, though it may experience the deepest trials and sorrows, will never be without its comfort and consolation, and in the midst of all tribulations, it will find peace and joy in the inner sanctuary of the heart. Men and women so living are indeed a light in this world, and are the salt of the earth, and a good savor of Jesus Christ,